The Siyata Dishmaya, one of the things that Reb Braunschweiger Zatzal made a big impression on me was about a particular topic. And it manifests in a few different places. And that is a topic of questions. I learned a lot from my Rebbe about the place of questions in life and questions in learning. One of the most important parts that my Rebbe taught me and taught so many thousands was he had this beautiful line where he said that if you didn't ask this question reading the Gemara, then you were reading poetry. That was his very, very powerful point. Actually, our Rebbe had an appreciation for poetry in Tanakh and poetry in Piyutim. But, of course, in the tradition from the Vilna Gaon, that our Derech HaLimud that our Rebbe gave us was deeply influenced in Derech HaBrisk and so on, is that we're supposed to understand everything in the Torah HaNigla, and we're supposed to read it and try to understand. And he emphasized that that was really, really, really important in terms of learning in general. There is a place, of course, for learning in Bikias and covering ground, but what he wanted, he said what he wanted to how he wanted to help us grow was not so much in being able to come up with fantastic answers, but to notice the problems. And the reason for that was twofold. I think, first of all, he felt that too many people threw out too many different ideas to answer questions, and they didn't have rayas. And at the end of the day, if they weren't big Talmidei Chachamim, a lot of the answers were just poreach ba'avir, poreach ba'avir. And he wanted us to learn to focus. We spoke about another time about learning how to play the piano. He wanted us to focus on learning how to play the piano. But I think there was also something else that he was doing in Avodas Hashem, and that is that he was forcing us to learn life and not accept the givens in life. If we grew up with a certain set of assumptions of Avodas Hashem, he wanted us to challenge ourselves and to grow. So it was in the learning of the Sugya and the Gemara, and it was about life in general. And he was very, very, very skeptical of people who ran to give answers. So when he would ask, or when he would begin asking a Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kasha, so he wouldn't, first of all, he wouldn't just say the Kasha. He would ask us, is there something that's bothering you? He would sort of lead us on. And then when he would say Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kasha, inevitably there were a few boys that would raise their hand, and a Rebbe would say in his European English, he would say, "As don't be hasty in answering Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kasha. Don't rush to answer Rabbi Kiva Eger's question." In other words, in learning to really, really to enjoy the flavor of Akasha is really, really what learning is about. There's a beautiful line. I think I might have heard from him, Zatzal, that the Satmar Rebbe once gave Haskama to someone who wrote a sefer to answer Rabbi Kiva Eger's, who answered Rabbi Kiva Eger's questions. Let's say Rabbi Kiva Eger in Gilyon HaShas has, I'm just making up a number, 1,500 Sarachiyun, Sarachiyun Katan, Sarachiyun Gadols, and he answered 300 of them. So he brought Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Satmar Rebbe, the Sefer for Haskama. The Satmar Rebbe wrote him a glowing Haskama that this person's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, that he was zochet to understand 1,200 of Rabbi Kiva Eger's 1,500 kashas. In other words, the 300 that he had, Rabbi Kiva Eger's question is so valuable. And there was something else that Rabbi Braunschweiger was teaching us, and that is that it's okay he would say this term, the beautiful Yiddish expression, mishtarpnish von akasha, you don't die from a question. Nowadays, young people want to have the answers to all questions. My Rebbe understood, his life taught us that there are some questions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to give us answers to. And he was emphasizing that as well. So let's just summarize what we have over here. We have this topic of questions that was connected to my Rebbe's learning, that's connected also to worldview, connected as much to his teaching. First of all, the most important thing was noticing the part in the sugya. Those who are bold and constantly offering answers and offering solutions, my Rebbe was skeptical and critical of. Because if Rabbi Akiva Eiger was bothered by the kasha, it's okay, you can leave it as a kasha. And the most important part of learning is to question and to delve and to try to understand. For sure, to try to come up with answers. But the most important part was to really, really appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah in front of you, that you're working on it and you're trying to understand it. And the answers are less important. For two reasons. Number one is because young Talmidim are really not capable unless they've gone through Shas. We have a Masorah from Reb Chaim that you really can't say a Chiddush until you've learned all of Shas. But also more than that was that even what's referred to in the world of philosophy, existentially, the idea of questions themselves standing as questions are extremely important. And then it pushed us, and he pushed himself, that to make sure that everything that we read from the Torah Kedoshah wasn't poetry, that everything was meant to be understood. Now that was also manifest in my Rebbe's hashkafa in two ways. This is about the learning. I said existentially it's a part, but there are two practical examples of this, that how it comes out. I said he was sometimes skeptical when Talmidim rushed to answer difficult questions. The most important part was really learning the sugya well and going over the terutzim of the Masorah as opposed to us coming up with our own terutzim. Now, for sure, he was mechadish and he encouraged us to be mechadish, but he felt a lot of times there were people who were being mechadish that were rushing to be mechadish before they really understood. And there are two hashlachos. I mentioned this before, I want to mention again because it's such a powerful point. And I see today, particularly I'm zocha to teach boys in the smicha program from modern backgrounds, and this is a major challenge that exists in the modern world, is that he was fond to say over the Dvar Avram on Sfiras Omer, still in Sfiras Omer, that the Dvar Avram deals with Akasha. Why isn't that in Chutz La'aretz we don't count Sfira with the Sfeika de Yoyma? In other words, in Chutz La'aretz, second night of Pesach might have been the first night of Sfira, might be night zero. Because if you're making it the Seder, so then you're assuming it's like also the first night of Pesach, right? Sfeika de Yoma. So the second night of Pesach you should count, today is zero in the Yoma or today is one. And the second night you should count, today is one or today is two. And the Dvar Avram, the great Kovner Rav, who, when our Rebbe would quote it, he would mention that he was killed. He died in the ghetto. The fantastic Talmud Chacham. The great Dvar Avram has a beautiful mahalach where he suggests that when it comes to a sfira, that sfira can't be done as a suffix. You can't count as a suffix. You can't say maybe this or maybe that. And he brings riots from the din of Sfira by Zava and other cases. So Rabbi Spiegel Zatzal used to like to say that over. And then he would conclude and he would say that the Dvar Avram ends the piece and says the Baal HaMor already asked this Kasha. And the Baal HaMor gives a different answer. Baal HaMor says that since Sfira Saimer today is only Zecha LaMikdash and Solim Midrabanon, we're not Machmer to do Sveika D'Yoyim. And the Dvar Avram said, since the Dvar Avram didn't give this answer, and obviously the Baal HaMor knew so much more than me, says the Dvar Avram, there must be something wrong with this answer. I rescind the answer, Because the Baal Amar didn't give that answer. Now, where do you draw the line when the Rishonim didn't give the answer and therefore it remains Shver? Or where you say that where the, it's a proper Chiddush that the Dvar Avram doesn't elaborate on. But Rabban Shpilu would say to us, he would say, see the tremendous kavod that the Dvar Avram had for the Rishonim, the Rishonim are Kamalachim, that the Dvar Avram wanted to emphasize that that the idea that we could rush and have Teirutzim is not appropriate. So that that I think was a very, very practical application to that. The other application was that Reb Braunschweigel said, and this is the concluding point, which I think is really important, is he wanted to emphasize to us this term, Mishtaknish von Akasha, is not only in regards to learning, but it's about life. That there are questions that we have in life. The point where it was most manifest was the fact that my Rebbe, of course, was a child survivor of the Holocaust. And he was very critical. And even though Reb Braunschweigel was entirely yeshivish and entirely identified in many ways with the Haredi world, he did tell us on numerous occasions that he felt that explanations that were given in the yeshivish world for the Holocaust, obviously the Torah says that if we don't do the Ratzon Hashem, then we're going to be punished. That's Pashut. But at the end of the day, that he used to hear this explanation, that explanation, he said to us that the Shoah in Europe was so awful and so awesome that the only way to explain is a Hester Panim, and we don't understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu was Gozer a Hester Panim on us. And I think that that outlook in life is such an important outlook. Every once in a while, there'll be a question that we'll have in learning. There'll be a question that we'll have in halacha. A person thinks all of his rabbeim hold that he shouldn't wear tcheles. And he does a research on his own, and he thinks, I think that you should wear tcheles. I don't understand my rabbeim. Okay. It's akasha. Mishtaknish von akasha. But we follow a mesorah. We follow Masara. We have a question about something in philosophy. Okay, it's Akasha. Mishtarpnish from Akasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is so beautiful, so profound, and so deep that that questions are definitional. In fact, Reb Braunschweigel Zatzal's Rebbe, Reb Soloveitchik Zatzal, would emphasize in his probably his most important work. Based on the psukim in Shir HaShirim, that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to be one that's based on mystery. And we're never going to understand everything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's something that's very, very important. And our goal is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with those questions. Not necessarily coming up with the Teirutzim, both in terms of how we learn, as well as our process in life. And we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We actually come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we ask those questions and we begin to realize how awesome and profound HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Okay, that's a fascinating topic in my Rebbe's life, both in terms of his style of learning as well as how it was mamish, the two hashlachas, about how he learned and how he taught and how he wanted us to learn, as well as how he lived his life as being a real Ish Emunah, even though the fact that he had the right to ask many more questions. He has, who started off with a family of 7 siblings and ended up the war after 3. But it was never with... It was okay that there were questions, that we don't understand everything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the goal is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes despite the questions, and sometimes dafka because of the questions themselves, we come closer to Kutshu Baruch Hu.